like I say, we've kind of done things a little bit in reverse, but I think since we've covered off some of the topics I was going to touch on with the slides, I'll try to abbreviate this one somewhat. In any case, thank you very much for having me. I really do appreciate this opportunity to share my message with you. I hope that my message will help each and every one of you to better appreciate the dedicated work that the Canadian Food Grains Bank and their local partners are doing on our behalf in developing countries around the world, you know, countries like Nicaragua. Up until a couple of years ago, I must confess, I really didn't know too much about the Canadian Food Grains Bank organization or their food study tours. However, all that has changed and did change when I went to Nicaragua. As I mentioned earlier, the location of Nicaragua, it basically it's sandwiched between Honduras to the north and Costa Rica to the south. Going on a food study tour is a beautiful, thought-provoking, and very challenging experience. It has been described by others as a life-changing experience, and that is true. I hope that my message this morning might ignite a desire in you to become more involved with the Canadian Food Grains Bank, step out of your comfort zone for a few weeks, and experience what life is really all about. Walk a mile in someone else's shoes. And that is just such an important thing. And that's what made a big difference to me. Participating, being with them, living with the people of Nicaragua and their lifestyles, eating their foods, and seeing how we are making a difference. We live in a divided world, a world of haves and have-nots. And there's such a contrast. Too much affluence in certain parts of the world and profound suffering and poverty in other parts of the world. There are over 800 million people around the world that do not get enough food to eat to meet their basic nutritional requirements. The root causes being conflict, natural disasters, poverty, racism, gender equality, and environmental destruction. The good news is the world does produce enough food for everyone to eat. The obstacle is the ability to gain access to that food. The injustice of the unequal sharing of the world's food resources is the problem. The Canadian Food Grains Bank is a partnership of 15 Canadian church agencies working together to provide a Christian response to hunger. The vision of the Canadian Food Grains Bank is a world without hunger. Their mission is to enable Canadians through member church agencies and local partners to share resources in order to end hunger and achieve food security. What I mean by food security is people have access to enough nutritionally balanced food in both the short term and the long term so that they may live active and healthy lives. The Canadian Food Grains Bank's specific objectives are to increase immediate and sustainable access to food, increase food security, and to strengthen international and Canadian public policy and action in order to address hunger. The Canadian Food Grains Bank serves as a fundraiser for its member church agencies. Collectively, farmers, the church community, and the Canadian public provide grain and cash donations, which can be allocated by the donor to either a specific member's account, such as the Evangelical Church, or the Canadian Food Grains Bank general account, which can be used by all Canadian Food Grains Bank members. Now, before I go any further, since I'm on the subject of donations and fundraising, it's important to note that for every dollar that the Canadian Food Grains Bank receives in cash donations, the Canadian International Development Agency, or CIDA, provides $4 in additional funding. So for every $10 donation made to the Canadian Food Grains Bank, they will receive $50 when the CIDA funding has been included. And that is very, very significant. Now back to what I was saying about member-specific accounts. Member agencies, such as the Evangelical Mission Church of Canada, then accesses their resources or their equity from their own accounts in order to support projects that they have entered into with their international partners. Since all funding is channeled through the 15-member Food Grains Bank member agencies, the Food Grains Bank head office does not accept any projects. All of these proposals must be sponsored by a member agency. Typically, a project or a proposal will contain the name of the lead member and the name of their international partner. And I noticed that there was a book that I picked up last week, and it showed just inside the cover where the Evangelical Church had sponsored work done in Africa. And, you know, it was a certain evangelical project that was being worked on that was giving you an update. And I found that was very interesting, and this is really what this all ties into. Basically, the international partner is a trusted organization within the region of the country where the program is going to be implemented and monitored. And this is so important, and monitored. It's easy to send money and hope it gets handled in a proper fashion. But we have to remember, these are trusted partners that we are working with in that country. So they know the climate, they know the political situations and everything else. So they're able to monitor it and work with us and tell us what's happening. The sponsor's proposal will include the goals and objectives of the project, give some facts with respect to the local food economy, outlining some of the obstacles to food security, and indicate how many families are being targeted to benefit from that project. So as a participant in a Food Grains study tour, I was a witness of what was being done by the Canadian Food Grains Bank and their partners. Today I'm here as a messenger. However, before I go any further, and I was going to leave this section out, but I think it's important that I touch on it, so I'm going to. Before I talk about my experiences and observations while in Nicaragua, I'd like to take a few moments to tell you a little bit about the country itself and try to give you an idea of some of the challenges that the people have faced in the past and continue to face today. Nicaragua is the largest and lowest country in South America, in Central America. It is the least populated with approximately 6 million people. And they're the poorest with less than 20% of their land suitable for cultivation. Nicaragua is the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, Haiti being the poorest. Nicaragua is located just 11 degrees north of the equator. So as you can imagine, the climate is tropical, the humidity is generally high, and the average temperature is around 27 degrees Celsius, or in my language, 80 degrees Fahrenheit. In the higher elevations where we traveled, it was noticeably cooler than that. As I mentioned, and during children's time, Nicaragua has two seasons, a dry season, which lasts approximately 7 months, and they have a rainy season, which is about 5 months. The dry season starts around November and ends around May. When we arrived on November the 28th, the rainy season had just ended, and the countryside was very lush and green. In a month's time, we were told that the countryside would be parched and the foliage will have turned brown. Obviously, food production and food security is a major challenge. In addition to Nicaragua's challenges due to climate, natural disasters have also played a major role in their past and will doubt to continue to in the future. Nicaragua has experienced 14 natural disasters in the last 17 years. Just an unbelievable statistic, because we don't hear about these things too often. We hear about the occasional hurricane going on down there, but where is down there? All of these, and I also wanted to touch on, and when we think of Nicaragua, we shouldn't forget about the turbulent political instability and corruption of the past. The civil war that went on throughout the 1980s, the Sandinistas and the U.S.-backed Contras. All of these events are woven into the fabric of what Nicaragua is today. In many ways, Nicaragua is an island unto themselves with very few trading partners. Have you gone to the supermarket and tried to buy a papaya or a guava from Nicaragua? You won't find them. You'll find all kinds of fruits and vegetables from Honduras and from Costa Rica, but you won't find them from Nicaragua. Unfortunately, politically imposed trade embargoes of the past still continue to stifle that country's ability to prosper. I found it inconceivable and frustrating to learn that when Nicaragua's friends or neighbors to the north and the south were taking advantage of this situation by buying Nicaraguan produce at deeply discounted prices and then reselling that same produce as their own to countries like Canada and the United States. Nicaragua's future is bleak as long as those trade embargoes of the past continue to hamper their ability to sell homemade manufactured goods and homegrown produce at a fair market value on the world stage. And that's why MicaMade and organizations like that that I talked about earlier, where they were trying to start up their own little private enterprises, trying to make handmade goods and sell them on the world stage without international trade partners. They're using the internet. Interesting. But very effective. And I think that is a very good situation. Unfortunately, it's a very sad commentary too. However, as we traveled through the countryside, we certainly did not see any signs that the people had given up. On the contrary, everyone that we visited and talked with were very positive in their outlook on life and very optimistic about the future. I can't really describe the overwhelming feeling of pride and satisfaction it gives you knowing that through the Canadian Food Grains Bank we have helped others and we are making a difference. Many people have asked me, what is it like to participate in the food study tour? What did we do that would challenge our comfort zone? The best way to answer those questions is to give you a very brief overview of the highlights, and then I'll talk about some of the projects. Our tour started in Toronto with 13 strangers from across Canada meeting in the departure lounge at Pearson International Airport. The only thing we had in common were none of us had been to Nicaragua before, and we really didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. However, we all had a keen desire to do mission work, and we wanted to learn more about what the Canadian Food Grains Bank was doing in Nicaragua. I think we had a secret desire for some rustic adventure, and we certainly weren't disappointed. For the first 3 days of our tour, we stayed in Managua, which is the capital of Nicaragua, and we stayed at the Nehemiah Center. It would best be described as a conference center. It was run by one of the Canadian Food Grains Bank partners in Nicaragua, known as CEPAD, or the Council of Evangelical Churches in Nicaragua. During those 3 days, we attended orientation meetings, learning everything there was to know about the country, the climate, the topography, the agricultural challenges, health issues, very important, threats to food security, political environment, and so on. Orientation also included Spanish lessons. Just so that we were able to communicate with our host families to some degree. Going back to school was not easy, but we did survive. And with respect to Spanish, we also learned that if you didn't know the words and you couldn't find that in your English Spanish dictionary, try charades. You know what? It works. But it is very threatening when you're trying to express yourself, like, what time does church start? We'll try to find that in a book quickly. It didn't work well. However, we made it. On the day four, we hopped in our bus and we headed north into the mountains to a place called Ocotal. And I showed you slides of that. We met the ladies from Soyanica, one of the Canadian Food Grains Bank Nicaraguan partners. After introductions, brief orientation, we were loaded into the back of two beat-up old trucks, standing, holding on to the roof racks, and we headed further into the mountains and very narrow dirt roads, crossing occasional streams, ran over the road. When the so-called road or trail came to an end, we disembarked, unloaded our knapsacks, and started to walk for about an hour hiking. We came across an adobe shack where we were invited in for a drink. The home that we visited was part of a community called La Muta, and they had planned a surprise welcoming party for us. It was quite a sight seeing all the families converging on this home, arriving from different directions, walking along these narrow mountain trails. The most wonderful experience. It was a celebration with lots of guitar playing, singing, hand clapping, and food. We had fried papaya, bananas, oranges, some kind of a sweet bun, tortillas, fruit juices. This is their way of showing some Nicaraguan hospitality and saying thank you for all the help the Canadian Food Grains Bank had given them. We learned that La Muta, the community, was one of the first projects that Soyanica and the Canadian Food Grains Bank members had worked on together. Since that time, they had partnered on many other projects in the Ocotal region. After the party, we continued to hike along this mountain path for about another hour in the dark. The destination was the first home that we were going to be visiting, and that's when we also learned that our Shakem flashlights worked really good. When we got there, we were quite exhausted and we were glad to be home. It was very, very basic. An adobe brick walls, no windows, dirt floor, absolutely no luxuries, but the warmth and the hospitality of our host family was very, very genuine. For me, this is what the trip was all about, walking a mile in their shoes. I could say so much about the experience, but time won't permit. Hopefully my pictures gave you a sense of what we had experienced. However, I must share one story with you, and I think I might just wrap up my talk at this point. This is probably the most moving experience I think I ever had. When I was with Hernando and his family, at night, we would get together in, as it was, my bedroom. And a candle would burn down to about an inch above the table. And it was time for bed. We would get together in my bedroom. We would hold hands, the whole family, and he would say a prayer. And you have to imagine what this would be like. Very, very quiet, very moving, just the flicker of a candle against these adobe walls, earthen floor, saying a prayer in Spanish. I have no idea what he said, and it doesn't matter. But the feeling of the Lord, God's presence in that room, was very, very, very moving and very evident. I think it's the most powerful experience I think I've ever had. And I believe that they do that every night before they go to bed. We could learn from that. I learned from that. And I think I'm going to stop my presentation at that point. I could talk for a fair bit longer, and my notes do go on, and I have a tendency to ramble when I talk on this beautiful subject. The Canadian Food Grains Bank thanks you for your growing project, for your donations, for your caring, and the most important, caring and sharing is what this is all about. And I'm very appreciative to have had the opportunity to go on a food study tour, and I hope I can do it again. Thank you.